Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory. There we go. Whoo, that was good. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You know what hallelujah means? It means praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. You say praise the Lord and you say hallelujah too, and then it doesn't sound like you're just repeating yourself. Praise God. Praise God, hallelujah. Well, God is good. God is so good. He's so good here. If you came here today, you came to the right place. How do I know that? Well, because the Spirit of God is here, because we're preaching the Word today. And when you got the Spirit of God and you're preaching the Word, you just can't go wrong. Amen? You can't go wrong. I said, it was the Word of God that changed my life. It was the Spirit of God working with the Word of God that really changed my life. That was the thing that took me from down here to put me up here, praise the Lord. That's the Spirit of God working with the Word of God. See, the Spirit of God always works with the Word of God. The Word and the Spirit always work together. They never work separately. Praise God. Why is that? Because God isn't a liar. God, when He says something, He means it. And when He means something, He says it. Amen? And God doesn't speak words like humans speak words. He doesn't just say something because it sounded good. He doesn't just say something because it felt good. He doesn't just say something because it makes somebody smile. God always speaks the truth. And when God speaks the truth, praise the Lord, you can better believe that you can have exactly what He says. And see, the Bible says that we've been given so many precious promises, exceedingly precious promises from God. But you know, the thing is that most people just don't walk in the promises of God, but that's why we're here. We're here to teach people how to walk out the plan of God for their lives, because in that plan of God is where God works. Amen. That's where the power of God is. So many people go to God, they pray, they say, Lord, do this for me, do that for me, but they forget that God wants them to do something for Him. Praise the Lord. If He did enough to send you, if he thought it enough to send His Son for you, He thought about us enough to send His Son to die for you when you didn't deserve it, praise the Lord, then we ought to do something in return for Him. And we can know that when we do things for God, that He's going to bless us. When we seek God's plan and not our plan, when we seek God's plan and not man's plan, when we get into God's plan, hallelujah, the doors fly open and we walk through them. Now, there'll be adversaries. Oh yeah, there'll be adversaries, but we don't concentrate on that. We don't get all wrapped up in what the devil's doing, because you know what? No matter what the devil throws at us, we got a God who's bigger. I said, we got a God who's bigger. And you know what that God did? He said, you know, it wasn't enough that I just that I just come to you. It wasn't enough that I just be around you. He said, I'm going to come live on the inside of you. See, I'm going to come live on the inside of you because I'm going to take you somewhere. I'm going to guide you. I'm going to lead you. I'm going to show you good things. I'm going to show you my power. I'm going to show you who I am. Glory to God. See, God wasn't going to leave us defeated. He wasn't going to leave us broken. He wanted to set us on a new course. Hallelujah. Now, see, that guy, that was so much speaking, I had to just, you know what I mean? Sometimes you gotta really strain to get it all out. Hallelujah. And that, you know, if I got to do that, well, you know, I will. Praise the Lord. I was real sad today, though. I couldn't find one of my hankies, so if I get to sweating, I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm going to just get, my wife's got Kleenex ready. The only problem with the Kleenex is they leave little white trails on you, little fuzzies on your forehead. Well, praise the Lord. Glory to God. You come to church today expecting? Amen. Well, we're going to get into some good things today. Amen. Praise God, because God's got a lot of stuff for us to get into. He's got a lot of stuff that He wants us to know. This has been a wonderful weekend for me. Praise the Lord. There's been so much revelation that has come to me this weekend, and I'm just so excited for revelation. You know, the thing is, revelation doesn't just come to a pastor. You know, I had a pastor asking me about why we planted another church, and I'm like, well, because the Lord led me to. Praise God. And see, it's awesome to be able to hear from God. That's one of the greatest things about this walk and the stuff that I've learned is that we don't just serve this God who is somewhere out there and may come visit us at some time. No, we have a God who wants a personal relationship with us. Now, you hear a lot of people talking about having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, but I'm going to tell you something. A personal relationship is a two-way street. You can't have, the Bible talks a lot about having a relationship, a personal relationship with God. But we have to understand that it's a two-way street. You can't have a relationship with somebody if it's not back and forth. Amen? How would you feel if you had a spouse and your spouse never talked to you? You never heard from them. They never touched you. They never showed you anything. They never showed you any kind of, well, you wouldn't like that very much. Amen? In fact, there's a lot of relationships that break up because of those things. Well, the same thing goes both ways for us. Number one, we should be that way with God. But see, we also have to understand that God is that way with us. It doesn't make sense that a God would want to do all these things, that He would want to come live on the inside of us and never manifest Himself to us. How could that happen? Praise the Lord. If you put something inside you, you know it's been inside you. If you go eat a good meal, you know it's been inside you. Amen? The other day, yesterday, we had gone to Corey to meet some people and to do our normal thing that we go to do down there, and we end up at this one restaurant, and I ate so much food, I felt like I was going to split open, but I knew that I ate something, amen? And sometimes if you eat the wrong things, you know later on that you ate something too, because you when something's inside you, you know it, yeah. Amen? When something's not right, you know it. But at the same time, when something's inside it feels good, you know it. Well, how awesome is it that the Holy Spirit wanted to come live on the inside of us? Jesus said, now it was pretty awesome when Jesus was here. I don't think that there's anybody who was here that followed Jesus that thought, man, you know, Jesus, I really wish you weren't here. They were blessed by his presence. In fact, we even see, I love the account of John, how it says that he was laid up against Jesus. He was resting on him. Just, you know, that's just awesome to me. It just shows the love of God. Why? Well, a man wouldn't have done that unless he loved him. You know what I'm saying? Unless there was something there, or some reason that God was drawn to him. Well, I don't know. How did I get on all this? Praise the Lord. I'm just talking about the love of God, and I'm talking about God wanting to come. Well, yeah, I know what I was saying now. Well, thank you. We came back around, you know. Praise the Lord. But Jesus said, it's expedient for you that I go away. And you think, how can you? Now, if you love somebody so much that you want to snuggle up against them, if you love somebody so much, you know, and it wasn't a weird thing. We're not talking strange stuff here. You know, things where they were a little bit more affectionate back then. Maybe we need to get back to that in the right way. You know what I mean? But they were, you know, if somebody means something so greatly to you that you would do anything for them. I mean, even Peter said that we would die for you. You know, they talk about that they would die for him. You don't do that with somebody that you don't love, that you don't have affection for. And yet Jesus said, it's better that I go away. He said, it's better that I go away. Why? Because when I go away, I'm sending somebody. I'm sending the Holy Spirit to come live with you. He will be in you and with you. He's going to guide you. He's going to teach you. He's going to show you things. He's going to remind you of what I said. Well, how can he do that if he never speaks to us? Right. Praise the Lord. Well, that's free, no charge. Hallelujah. God is good. He wants good things for us, and he wants to live in you. He wants to live with you. He wants you to know him. Amen? And knowing him isn't just this thing that's out there. And I'll tell you this all the time. You know, people can argue with our flavor of Christianity, but I'm going to tell you what you can't argue with. You can't argue with the proof. You can't argue with the, we had testimony Sunday last week, and there was just a few testimonies. There's a lot more than that, but you can't argue with the proof. So you can say that you don't believe it all you want, but if it's in the Word and we're showing you the proof, I mean, you got at some point you got to stop being so stinking stubborn and say, hey, wait a minute, maybe the Word is true. Praise the Lord. And I wanted to share, speaking of those testimonies, there's one I forgot to share while I was reading them, there was one I forgot to share that goes along with it. There's a dear sweet lady that has been coming to the Corey Church. She's been there pretty much every week. And the only weeks that she hasn't been there, she's even told us that she wasn't going to be there. So she said, I couldn't be here because I had to go. She has a daughter that's pregnant, about to have a baby that lives far away. And so she's been going back and forth to see her. And so, but otherwise she's been there every week, and she's just so hungry for the Word. And she's just such a blessing to us. And we see new people, you know, often during the weeks and stuff. We've seen a lot of different people even already come in and out of there. But this one lady in particular, and I was talking to her, and I said, you know, and she came, she was a work friend of John Gitchard's here. I said to her, what brought you here? You know, why did you decide to come? And she said, you know, it was because of what I saw in John. She said, I saw the change in John, and I said, there's something about that. And she told me that's what drew her in. That's why she came. See, it matters how we live out there. It matters what we show the world. Now, John will be the first to admit he's not a perfect person. And I'm not saying that as a slight towards John. John's a great guy. We all love John. Anybody don't love John? Yeah, don't you raise your hands. We all love John. John's a great guy. He serves. Him and his family serve. They're just wonderful Christians. They're wonderful friends. They're wonderful church members. Praise the Lord. But you know, he's not. You know, nobody's perfect. But the change in him was evident. And see, God always leads us to change. This ain't my message, but praise the Lord, it's good anyways. But the Lord always brings change to us. If you want to see a Christian who's truly a Christian, it's one who changes. Somebody who changes. Amen. Somebody who's willing to change. Somebody who has changed. Somebody who looks different than what they looked like the day before. And I don't mean this is a bad thing. Change isn't a bad thing. But change in God is a wonderful thing. And we need to get to that place where we allow God to change things in us. The most stale Christians are those that don't allow themselves to be changed. Now, I'm not talking about coming up with some new doctrine. The word is set. The word is the word. It ain't going to change. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He does not change. However, he does require us to change. Why? Because naturally speaking, in the world, we aren't flavorful for God. Amen. We aren't righteous and of our own accord. But God wants to take us and make us better. Amen. And that change is never bad. That change is always good. Hallelujah. Well, praise the Lord. Today we're preaching about, the message is called Easy Burden. Easy Burden. Hallelujah. We're going to preach, again, I'm going to bring up, we're going to start in Matthew 11:28. You can go ahead and flip there if you want, but we're going to read some very familiar scriptures for you, some scriptures that we've even read before. But again, we're going to be looking at them a little bit different of an angle. Amen. This is what I love about the Word of God, is that the Word of God is living and it's powerful. That you can open the Word and you can read it 1,000 times, and 1,000 first time you read it, you see something you never saw before. I'm not saying it changed. I'm just saying that God revealed another aspect of himself to you. Praise the Lord. And look at what it says here. It says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Praise God. You know, this is these are scriptures that, of course, we use to comfort people so many times. And these are scriptures that have come up. A lot of people have thought that it means this or thought that it means this. But, you know, we also get other ideas from scripture that don't necessarily jive exactly with what this is saying. And one of those things, you know, Jesus said that if you want to follow him, one of the things you got to do is you got to pick up your cross and follow him. That's not, you know, picking up a cross is not bearing, sound like it's bearing a fun thing. Jesus also told us, in this life, you will have trials. You will have tribulation. You are going to have suffering come at you. He also said, be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Amen. But see, he said these things are going to happen. And we know, and we look at the life of the apostles and the disciples, that they didn't have, everything wasn't always just hunky-dory. Sometimes they dealt with stuff. Sometimes they had opposition. Oh, praise the Lord. Paul was stoned several times. Have you ever been stoned? Well, think about that the next time that you think life is so bad. Paul was stoned to an inch of his life. He was almost dead. He was stoned so bad. One time, he was shipwrecked and floated around in the water for a couple days. Have you ever been shipwrecked and floated around in the water for a few days? Well, praise God. But Paul did. Paul had people hating on him everywhere he went. At least some people still like you. Yeah, at least somebody does. You can find somebody that's still like you. People were hating on him every time. He was just doing the will of God. He was walking around. So what does this mean? How can this be that Jesus is saying if you connect with him? Because all this happened after Paul connected with Jesus. After Jesus knocked him off his donkey. Praise the Lord. You ever been knocked off your donkey? I've been knocked off my donkey before. Sometimes you got to be knocked off your donkey a little bit. You know what I mean? But he was thrown to the ground, and he's like, you know, and Jesus came to him and said, why are you persecuting me? And he's like, you know, and then long story short, Paul ended up getting converted and coming to Jesus and getting filled with the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. He spoke in tongues and all that crazy stuff that happens to people that get, you know, all that good stuff that God does for people. Praise the Lord. Well, that's still, I know that went over kind of heavy, but praise the Lord. But, you know, Paul dealt with some things. He dealt with some serious opposition in his life. So how can this Jesus say, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest? Where's Paul's rest? He said, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. See, that's a very, very important statement right there. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Connect yourself. When you're yoked to something, you know, the Bible says, don't be unevenly yoked together with a non-believer. When you're yoked to something, it means that you're going to go in the same direction. If you tie two ox together, praise the Lord, with a yoke, they're going to go in the same direction. One of them, they can't go in different directions. And that's exactly what the Bible is saying. If you're yoked together with an unbeliever, if they want to go in this direction and you know you got to go in this direction, you can't. Why? Because you're yoked together. So, but Jesus is saying, be yoked to me, praise the Lord. Be yoked to me. and learn from me. What does it mean to learn from Jesus? It means to learn his ways. It's to learn what he's going to show you. It's going to learn from me. And this isn't just written to these Christians then. This is written to Christians today that exist today. Are you a Christian today? This is written to you. Learn from Jesus. Well, how are you going to learn from Jesus? Jesus ain't here. I said, how are you going to learn from Jesus? He ain't here. Anybody seen Jesus today? Well, praise the Lord. He sent his Holy Spirit to come live on the inside of you. See, this is what is this light and easy that he's talking about is real simple. It's the direction of God and the ability to carry it out. See, one of the things I love about serving the Lord is that I now have direction from God for my life all the time. I made lots of choices in my life by myself on my own accord. And see, if you're just making decisions in your life based on what feels good, then friend, you're off. Because guess what? What feels good ain't going to lead you down the road to what's right. And what's right isn't going to bless you. So many people, and especially in the church, and this is sad, but so many people just go, it feels good, so this is what I'm going to do. But then God never leads by feelings. I felt this was God. God doesn't lead by feelings. He leads by direction. He leads by direction, and we're going to see about that today. Amen. The direction and the ability to carry it out. When the Lord directs you, this is what a wonderful thing. God directs you in things all the time. He will direct you in things that are impossible for you to do. You won't be able to do it. God has never said to me, do something that's easy. He's never said to me. He told the Israelites, you never see that in Scripture. He didn't go up to the Israelites and say, here's a land flowing with milk and honey. Guess what? There ain't nobody there. Just walk in and take it. No, he sent them to a land that was filled with not people, but giant people. They were huge. And the people came, everything in the land was huge. The grapes were huge, and the people were huge. And they came back and they said, yeah, this land is great, it's beautiful, but look it, there's huge people there. And they're not just huge people, they're huge fighting people. We're not huge fighting people. We've been slaves in Egypt. These are huge fighting people. And you're sending me there? And he said, go in and take it. Go in and take it. He never tells us to do something that's easy. Praise the Lord. He never looks at you and say, hey, it's going to be comfortable on your flesh. But that doesn't mean that it's going to remain uncomfortable on your flesh. That doesn't mean it's going to take you to a place where you're just going to be miserable. See, this is where people take things out of context and they start thinking, that, oh my God, that following the Lord means you've got to be miserable every day of your life. That is not the plan of God. What does Jeremiah 29:11 say? It says, if you don't know, just turn around and read it on the wall. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. To give you a future, to make you blessed, to make you happy. Listen, my future for you is good. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord, because God is good. What the light and easy that he's talking about is the direction of God and the ability to carry it out. But most people don't even know. You go to a lot of churches and you ask them, well, you've been directed by God, and that's what I'm talking about. Even talking to that minister, well, why are you doing this? Why are you doing this? Because the Lord directed me to. I said, the Lord directed me to. People, don't you say that to Christians? They think you're goofy and silly. Well, what kind of life are you living if God isn't directing you in anything? You're not living a Christian life because he promised. Jesus promised. See, when God never left his people void of God. There was always some manifestation of God at some point on the earth. Always. And even, so you, whether it was Jesus being here or whether it was before, but now it's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has come to live in us and with us and to teach us and to guide us. Amen? God's light and easy is found in our ability to hear him and then our decision to carry it out. Right. Our ability to hear him. But see, people don't take time to hear from God. They're like, what is hearing from God? What does it mean to hear from God? It means that you spend time before the Lord in prayer and he will direct you. He will guide you. He will show you things to come. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Psalm 16:11. You just want to look at it up here. It says, see, we see this even in the Old Testament, and this is what I love, because, again, the things that we preach in this church aren't hard. The things we preach in this church are based in so much Scripture, it's undeniable, yet people deny it all the time. You know, I've had discussions with people about the Word, and they keep wanting to bring it back around to the things that they think or the things that they've always known or what their tradition always told them, but the truth of the Word has nothing to do with tradition. It has everything to do with what he said. Praise the Lord. It always has to do with what he said. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. That kind of really defeats, that one scripture defeats the idea that God wants you poor, defeated, and broken. In your presence is fullness of joy. We can be in the presence of God. How do I know we can be in the presence of God? Because the presence of God is in us already. Praise the Lord. But how do we tap into that? How do we receive that matters? And we also know that by Scripture. We're not preaching on that today, but we also know that by an abundance of Scripture. In your presence is fullness of joy. When was the last time you see Christians living in the fullness of joy? When was the last time you hear Christian songs that are singing about the fullness of joy? All I hear out there in the Christian world is Christians talking about how big the devil is and how much they're defeated, praise the Lord. How big the storm is, how I'll never get through. That isn't ever what the Bible says. That isn't faith, and God said don't live that way. He said live by faith. What is faith? Faith is trusting God, saying I'm getting to the other side. When some, yes, stuff comes up in life, stuff comes at you, but the direction of God says, well, it's not a big thing. Whatever. They say, oh, you got to pay for this and this and this, and you don't know how you're going to. I've got God. I've got the Holy Spirit. I've got the Lord. He'll show me how. He'll take care of it. There's been no mountain that's been placed before us that we haven't been able to get around. And we've seen some mountains, haven't we? Praise the Lord. We've seen some mountains. Now, God ain't putting the mountains there in front of us. God isn't raising up mountains to stop us from going into His blessing. That's stupidity. And God ain't stupid. Hallelujah. I said, God isn't stupid. So stop looking and stop thinking about God like He's stupid, because it'd be stupid for someone that wants to lead you and guide you and then throw obstacles in your way so you can't get there. Come on. I mean, this is such a basic thing, but I could preach on this every single week. Maybe I do. I kind of bring it up all the time, don't I? But it's the truth. We have to get this stinking thinking out of our heads so we think the way that God wants us to think. Because until we think the way God wants us to think, we can't do the thing God wants us to do. See, God isn't so concerned. God said, don't worry about all the stuff. He said, don't worry about all the things. He says, don't worry about what you want. He said, He will give us the desires of our heart. You can't lie. You can't not take that scripture. You can't take that scripture out of there. You can't take it out of context. He said, He will give you the desires of your heart. God wants good things for us. Praise the Lord. He will show me the path of life. I looked this word life up. I like it. I like what it says. It says living, green as a vegetation. He will show us a way that is green as a vegetation. When you see green, when you're in springtime, when you see stuff popping up, you think of life, you think of rebirth, you think of, wow, abundance, you think of harvest. Hallelujah. Flowing like fresh water. Lively and active. Reviving like springtime. Sustenance. Maintenance. Revival, renewal, hallelujah. This is what this word life means. One word, four letters, means all that. Glory to God. In the original Hebrew. So you could say this, Lord, you will show me the path of maintenance for my life. You will show me the path of renewal for my life. You wake up today not feeling good? Lord, show me the path of renewal. Show me how to renew my day. You ain't got to start the day bad. Said His mercies are new every morning. If His mercies are new every morning, that means every morning you can wake up and have a good day. If you don't have a good day, it's because you're using your words wrong. It's because you aren't following God right. God said you can wake up every day feeling good. Hallelujah. Well, people think that's goofy. I don't care if you think that's goofy. Paul woke up in prison just getting beaten. He was feeling good. How do we know? He was singing praises to God. You don't sing praises to God unless you think something good of God. Unless you're feeling good. You know, a lot of people, if they get beaten, they sit there and cry about how bad God is or how much God doesn't want them to have. But that's so foolish. Why did Paul sing praises? Because he knew his God through and through. He knew what his God would do. He knew that if he sang praises to God, God was going to get him out. Yeah, sure, he was beaten. Beating's going to happen. It ain't happening on God's account. It's happening because we have an enemy. We have a devil that's walking around trying to, the Bible says that you be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, like a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. It doesn't say he's going to devour everybody. He's going to seek who he can devour. A lot of Christians lay down and let the devil come up and devour them. It's like, oh yeah, they're like covering themselves in honey, laying down in front of a bear and just saying, here you go. Here you go. I taste good. Here you go, shark. You want a little blood? I mean, that's exactly what Christians do. Instead of standing up, kick them in the pants. Kick them in the pants. Hallelujah. God will show us. How will He show us? Through His Spirit. He will show me the path of life, the path of sustenance. What's sustenance? It's what you need to survive. He'll show you how to get there. You don't know how you're going to pay for that bill. It's real easy. Seek the Lord. He'll show you. Praise God. We've had examples in here, part of our testimonies, were of people who just sought the Lord. They did the word, and God just took care of it. Just took care of it. Bills, medical bills, paid for. Gone. See ya. Praise the Lord. If he did it once, you only think he'll do it again? That's the thing. You only need God to do one thing for you. And then you and that's enough for you to realize, well, wait, if he'll do it once, he'll do it again. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. Praise the Lord. If he healed me once, he'll heal me again. Yeah. Amen? Hallelujah. 1 John 2:20. Glory, hallelujah. 1 John 2:20 is a good scripture for all Christians to know. Praise the Lord. 1 John 2:20, but you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. Wow. Again, I just ask most Christians. You just ask most Christians, what do you know? I don't know anything. I don't know anything about God. I don't know what God wants to do. I don't know what God wants me to do. They're not seeking God. They're not getting before the Lord. I like this in the Amplified. I want to bring it up in the Amplified because I want to bring it out a little bit more. It says, but you have been anointed by, you, and then it explains that you hold a sacred appointment from, you have been given an unction from, the Holy One. And you all know the truth, or you know all things. You're a know-it-all. Praise the Lord. God makes you a know-it-all. Well, you know, I love this idea of things that you might not know in the moment what to do, but all you got to say is, I don't know right now, but it's coming to me. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Actually, I wouldn't say even I don't know, but I just say it's coming to me. Why? Because I know all things. I've been given an unction. Like, this scripture isn't lying, right? Did God say, well, this is one mistake he made? The scripture obviously must have been a mistake, right? Because he didn't really give us an anointing. He didn't really anoint us and give us a sacred appointment from God. We haven't really been given an unction from God. What's an unction? It's an inward witness. It's this still small voice. It's that voice on the inside of us that tells us, no, don't touch that thing. But like fools, we touch it anyways. And then we complain to God when we get burned. Say, Lord, the Lord tells us, well, first of all, we have his word. You know, the unction never works separately from the word. It always leads us with the word. Why? Because Jesus told us that the Holy Spirit, which is the unction on the inside of us, the direction on the inside of us, he told us that he would tell us, remind us of things that Jesus said. Well, what's the word of God? That's what Jesus said. The word of God is all about Jesus. Hallelujah. So every bit of the word is, even though it was written by other people, it is all written under the unction of the Holy Spirit, which is God, which is Jesus. Praise the Lord. But we know this because the Bible tells us so. Amen. Praise the Lord. So we have an unction. We know all things. We can know the direction. We can know what we have to do. We just follow the Lord. But see, a lot of times Christians, the Bible says, don't do this and don't do that. And Christians do it anyways. And then they have calamity in their life. And they come back and they say, Pastor Jeff, I don't know why God hates me so bad. And I'm like, listen, if you touch the thing God told you not to touch, you're going to get burnt. This is why we tell people to do things right. This is why we don't advocate for things like divorce practice, a.k.a. dating. Try this one out. Try that one out. Try this one out. Try that one out. When you're done with them, just get rid of them. And then people wonder why when they go to get married that they have a problem staying married. Why? Because you just tried it out and tried this out, tried that out. You didn't really care to find out, to seek God to find out who you should actually marry. You know what I'm talking about with dating. I'm talking about casual dating where just 1 month you're with somebody, 1 month you're with somebody else. It's probably 3/4 of the church lives this way. The Christian church lives this way, and it's sad. Why? Because you're never going to get to the blessing. What are you going to find by testing things out? People think you got to sow your wild oats. I think the dumbest thing you could do is tell your kids to sow their wild oats. Yeah, you like go live in rebellion because that'll help you. What did rebellion do in my life? It wasn't good, was it? Hallelujah. Always led me to death. Right up to the door, several times, many times. In fact, I got so wrapped up in my rebellion that I wanted to take my own life constantly. I lived in that. I lived in that. There, you know, it was the rebellion. It wasn't God that made me suck on the barrel of a shotgun. It was the rebellion in my life. It was following the plan of the devil. It was following everything that made me feel good. Or that I thought, because the Bible tells us that sin is fine for a time. It will make you feel good for a time, but sooner or later, it's going to bite. And when it bites, it bites hard. Yeah. I said, it bites hard. Yeah. Glory to God. That's why God didn't tell us to stay out of sin because he doesn't want us to have any fun. God will lead you into the most joy. In the presence of the Lord is the fullness of joy. The fullness of joy. So what do you think you're going to get from not being in the presence of the Lord? See, we got to follow God. We got to do things right. Amen? You hold a sacred appointment from you. Have been given an unction from the Holy One. And you know all things, the truth, or you know all things, praise the Lord. We know all things. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I know everything I got to do. Why? Because I seek God. I may not know in the moment. I'm not lying. I just know that it's coming. Why? Because I trust my Lord. Amen? Well, praise God. Hallelujah. God is good, isn't he? Why? Because he loves us. That's pretty awesome that God loves us so much that he's going to come be with you. You know, there's so many times. I think as my son here, my oldest boy, he's, you know, going to be 20 here pretty soon. Oh, dear Jesus, how did that happen? Yeah, he's going to be 20 here pretty soon. And he's going out there and he's learning a lot of lessons in life. Amen. And not because he's doing anything wrong. He's doing a lot of things right. And you know, he's walking out his life. And I've just noticed that as he's gotten older, that my direction for him from the Lord isn't the same as it was before. Because he's at the point where he's got to start seeking God on his own. And as a father, this is kind of a hard thing. Because I don't want him to have to make mistakes. I don't want him to go out there and have to get burnt. Praise the Lord. I want to just like, here, just stay with us. We'll be good, you know. And when we keep him close, praise the Lord, on purpose. Well, he's my worship leader. We got to make sure that he stays right. Praise the Lord. But, you know, I don't want him to have to learn that stuff. I gladly take all that trial away and just say, here, have blessing. But you see, he's got to learn to be led for himself. He's got to learn to seek God for himself. And I've noticed that I can't even just tell him what to do anymore. Sometimes there's things I know that he's got to do, but I got to let him find it out. I got to let him seek the Lord. And of course, I do try to coax him in ways that please me sometimes too. Hey, look over here. This is really nice, isn't it? Praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. But we want our kids to marry right, too. Yes. Amen? I'm a firm believer in marrying right and convincing your kids to marry right. Why? Because if they don't marry right, then you got to deal with it the rest of the life. Yeah, there ain't nothing fun about that. Yep, praise the Lord. I don't mind in-laws. We don't want outlaws, though. Amen? Glory, hallelujah. Yeah, praise the Lord. Romans 8:12. Praise God, hallelujah. And he's doing good. And he'll keep doing good. Why? Because he's got the Holy Spirit. Because he's hungry for the Lord. You know, that's what I teach my kids. I tell you, if you want to teach your kids one thing, if you want to know that you teach your kids one thing that will help them their entire life, teach them to be hungry for God. Because it's the ones that aren't hungry for God are the ones that are in trouble. Listen, not everybody gets to go to heaven. This is a sad truth, but it's the truth. Not everybody gets to go to heaven. Just because you love somebody doesn't mean they go to heaven. Praise the Lord. It's the truth. Somebody has to receive Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior. That's what makes them go to heaven. Praise God. Hallelujah. Romans 8:12. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors. Why do I say that? I'll tell you why I say that, actually. Because there's a lot of people that don't consider eternity ever. There's a lot of people that live day in and day out never considering what happens later on. I've heard people talk about eternity as if it's some kind of joke. They think, well, you know, I at least believe in God, so I must be okay. But that's not what the Bible tells us. The Bible says there's one way to be sure. There's one way to be sure, and that's by receiving Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. And I see that so common, so commonplace that people live their lives. And I think all the time, as I see people living their lives, sometimes I'm thinking, aren't they afraid? Don't they realize? I mean, you see people that hate God and they do dumb things, like maybe they're a stunt driver or something, or they're jumping off buildings and stuff like that. And I'm like, does a thought ever cross their mind that if they don't land right, what happens afterwards? And a lot of people don't. People think hell is a joke. Praise the Lord. But this is what part about being led, amen? Because we need to be led right. We don't understand these things. Christians who don't have a real understanding of hell will do their own thing all the time, and they'll never consider anybody else. See, if you really love people, then you come to church, you get serious about God, you'd start doing things. You'd start doing things in your life that are for God and not for yourself. Yeah. People that live for themselves are selfish. Yeah. And they'll answer to it to Jesus. Praise the Lord. Well, I'm not trying to be a bummer, but it's the truth. Romans 8:12, praise the Lord. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. Praise God. We are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. We are not to live according to the flesh. We are not to live according to the flesh. We are not to live according to the flesh. This feels good, so this is what I'm going to do. This is what I want to do, so this is what I'm going to do. That's the flesh. What does God want you to do? Where is God leading you? Where is He taking you? See, this is the thing we try to get over to people. God has a plan, and that's great. Everybody loves hearing that God has a plan. But here's the whole thing. It revolves around this, and that is your will to decide to follow that plan. God isn't forcing His plan on you. Not all things happen for a reason. Well, yeah, all things happen for a reason. I love, you know, people say that, and all things happen for a reason. And it's like I've said before, sometimes that reason, the reason is because you're an idiot. Sometimes the reason that you deal with what you deal with is because you did dumb things to get there. When I lived my life, I was living it as an idiot. I did whatever I wanted to do. Why do I use such strong words? Because they need to be used sometimes. You have to understand that not everything people choose to do is right. Just because it feels good to you does not mean you should do it. Charles Manson said, do whatever feels right to you. Do you want to live by his advice? Yeah, he said that. He said, oh, just if it makes you feel good, then do it. People love that. People love that in today's society. If it makes you feel good, what if it leads to hell? Do we still want people doing it? What if it leads to destruction or suicide or all kinds of other things? What makes somebody feels good is coming into your house and robbing you? Is that okay then for you? Well, where's the line? You can't just throw something out there like that. See, it matters that we don't live according to the flesh. The flesh is for us to enjoy. Emotions are for us to enjoy. I love emotions. I love being able to enjoy the flesh. There is nothing better than enjoying the flesh when it's right to enjoy the flesh. Amen. I look at my wife because I love my wife. Praise the Lord. We both have flesh. Glory to God. We enjoy it right and we love to. It's great. Praise the Lord. We enjoy each other. I'm not just talking, you know, but maybe I will talk about that. Who knows? Hey, if we can't talk about sex in church, they're hearing about it out in school. They're teaching them all kinds of crazy stuff that's perverse and wrong in schools. Yeah, I said they're teaching them all kinds of crazy stuff that's perverse and wrong. So if you get mad at me for talking about it here, well, glory to God. But I'll tell you, it's right and good when it's right and good. But when it's not right and good, it's wrong and bad. Yeah, amen. Hallelujah. Glory. Praise the Lord. Romans 8:12. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to live to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. See, this is exactly what God told Adam and Eve. He said, don't touch that because you will die. The devil said, you won't surely die. It means you're not going to drop dead instantly. God does not cause death. God never brings death on people. Death is a result of sin in the flesh. The Bible tells us that over and over and over. It tells us that death is the last enemy. How could God be causing death and also be an enemy but be a loving father? It doesn't make sense, does it? Now listen, sin is working in all human flesh. It's just there. But we've seen it. We've seen the results of sinful flesh, praise the Lord, over years and years and years, and what it does to people. It causes death. God doesn't put cancer on people. Well, praise God. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. We are not all children of God. This is another common, mistaken phrase that you'll hear. Well, everybody on earth, we're just all children of God. No, you're not. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. What are the sons of God? Those are also the children of God. These aren't talking the sons of God that are the angels. This is talking about people like you and me. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Praise the Lord. Those who live with the faith of Abraham, those are the ones who are the children of Abraham. Praise God. Not everybody qualifies under this. This is what the Bible says. This isn't my idea of it. This is what the Bible says. Amen? Praise God. But it's important to understand that there. The children of God should be led by God, by the Spirit of God. Yeah. that dwells inside them, by the Spirit of God that dwells on the inside of them. But people are doing their own thing. They're not listening. They're not, and they wonder why they have trouble in their life. I see this all the time. I see Christians, when I was talking to my wife today, I've seen several different kinds of people. I've seen, there's people that have never known God. They were raised atheists or whatever. They never believed in God. And then they come to know God and through some kind of events. They get hungry for God. That's my wife. That's exactly what she was. She was an atheist. She came to know God. Praise the Lord for a good husband. He wasn't her husband then, but he became a good husband. Praise the Lord. Well, that's a joke. More of you could laugh, the two of you, but praise the Lord. Thank you. But because I need that. I need to feel good about, you know, I'm talking about not being led by the flesh, but I need to feel good. I need your approval, please. Just kidding. But, so there's people like that were raised atheists or are atheists. They don't believe in God, don't believe in any kind of God. Then all of a sudden they learn about God, they get hungry for God, and they follow God. And then you got people like me, and I fall into this category, I was raised in some sort of Christianity, but it wasn't necessarily a well-taught Christianity. And so I suffered many things because I wasn't taught right. I went through many things that I didn't have to go through because I wasn't taught right. But I had a zeal for God, and I always was hungry for God. And so then when I actually learned something about God and my life started changing, I got on fire for God. And then you have these other kinds of Christians. These are Christians that they will go to church, maybe even every week, but they never get hungry for God. They never do anything for God. We were talking about this Reach One people. If it isn't on the heart of every person, every Christian sitting in every church to reach somebody and like truly reach somebody, I'm not just talking about, oh, it would be nice if I read, but no, went looking for somebody, went looking to find them. You know, if it's not on the heart, then they're not, I even question their Christianity. Absolutely. If you spend most of your week thinking about you and your stuff and you know, the things of God or just a fleeting thought or whatever, I question your Christianity. Oh, yeah, I get so bold to say that. I question your Christianity. Why? Because there's a change that happens when you truly get connected with God. Why? Because the love of Christ has been shed abroad in our hearts, the Bible tells us. You can't not love God's people, or you cannot love God's kingdom. Like, love it. I mean, love it. When you love something, you are after it. You are all for it. It is everything to you, praise the Lord. You can't just go out and reject God all the time and reject everything that means something to God every time and say, well, I'm going to heaven. You gotta be careful, because Jesus said that there would be people that would cast out demons in his name, and they would get before him and he would say, depart from me, I never knew you. Why? Because they never had a relationship with him. They never cared about his kingdom. Friends, it's a serious thing we got to teach about. We are not just teaching church. I have Christians that just reject everything that you say. The Bible says, oh, you know, this is this. And the only time they want anything to do with God is when they need something. Oh, it makes me mad. It makes me so fired up, I want to smack people. The only time some people come to God is when they need something. If the only time you come to God is when you need something, child, there is a problem. We have the Spirit of God living on the inside of us. He is not telling you to go do whatever you want to do and reject him and forget about him and forget about his people and forget about what he wants to do. There are people dying every single day that are going to hell because some Christian won't stand up and say, hey, did you hear about this church? Hey, have you ever heard about Jesus? Hey, I got something for you. I got something that changed my life. Look what's happened in my life. Listen to what's happening over here. It's important stuff. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I need one of those thingies here. Whew. Well, I didn't get it. I can pick it up. Praise the Lord. I just don't want to split my suit or anything. When you get preaching real good, it sticks to you. You know what I mean? And it doesn't flow as good as it did before. Well, praise the Lord. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage, again to fear. Here's another thing, Christians living in fear. You didn't receive a spirit of bondage. Again, to fear. God didn't make you fearful. He didn't create, he gave us a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. Glory to God. That's why I love what the Lord did in me, because I was such a miserable mess of a human. I lived in such depression. I lived in such oppression of the mind that I just every single day, and I just wanted it to stop. And the answer was right there before me. I just needed somebody to show me. I needed somebody who was willing to say it and step on my toes a little bit and say, hey, you know what? You don't like this, but this is the truth. Glory, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father, Daddy. I don't know about you, but God ain't just my God. He's my daddy. Hallelujah. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs. Look at this. If children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Hallelujah. Yes, there will be suffering, but guess what? There will be suffering in life, and it isn't because of God. There will be suffering because you have an enemy. And I'm going to tell you what, if you step it up and start doing right, you are going to see your enemy. I guarantee it. That's where so many Christians fail, is they come in and maybe they'll have something change. And they'll start doing right, and then all of a sudden their lives start changing. Like, wow, this is amazing. And then all of a sudden, the devil comes knocking, and he throws something at him. Maybe it's an unexpected bill. Maybe it's an unexpected sickness. Maybe it's some obstacle that they've never seen before, and they think, well, how am I ever going to get out? See, how you get over is faith in God and trusting the Lord and saying, I'm going over the mountain. What the Spirit of God will speak to you as you do that. The Spirit of God is not going to speak to you and say, give up. Never. Hallelujah. The Spirit himself bears witness that we are witness with our spirits that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Heirs with Christ. What is a joint? What does Christ have? All things are his. What's yours? All things. This is why it's light and easy to follow God, because as you follow God and his plan, you have access to everything you need. If he says go here and do this, and he funds it.
That's right.
If he puts it on your heart to go bless somebody with $1,000, then he's going to bring that $1,000 to you if you're faithful to do it.
Yeah.
But you've got to be faithful to do it. I'm going to tell you what right now. I question Christians that never want to give to the work of God. Yeah. That don't make it a point to try to give to what God's doing. Why? Because there's all kinds of people there's all kinds of people out there that aren't going to get saved. People get mad about talking about money, but it all comes down to this. The world revolves around money. People are not giving us free churches. They're not giving us free electricity. They're not giving us free chairs, praise the Lord. They're not doing that. They're not giving us free advertisement. I did talk them down a little bit, you know, Well, praise the Lord. Just because it ain't free, I mean, I'm going to get ripped off either. Praise the Lord. Talk them down a little bit. And then sometimes you got to pay what it is. But it doesn't matter because God covers it. Amen. Praise the Lord. John 16:12. I still have many things to say to you. That's what John 16:12 starts off saying. But I do, really. I still got many things to say to you. We're only about an hour into this. We're not even an hour into it. We got a couple more to go, but that's all right. Praise the Lord. Well, listen. If you want a 12-minute sermon, there's plenty of churches that'll give that to you.
Yeah.
Yep. But you can come back here when you're struggling. You don't know how you're going to do it either. Yeah, because you don't change much in 12 minutes. Praise the Lord. We can't even get through a whole movie in 12 minutes. Can you imagine 12 minutes? Can you imagine going to a movie and paying for a movie and going there for 12 minutes and being like, or a half hour? I mean, you'd feel ripped off. Can you imagine going to pay? I mean, I feel ripped off anyways. But you go watch it anyway. Because, you know, why am I paying $30 for a small popcorn? I just don't get that. Doesn't make any sense to me. Praise the Lord. The same thing with hot dogs. Like, why would a hot dog ever be more than a dollar? You know what I mean? You go to like a ball game or something like that, and you pay like $5 for a hot dog. And generally, they don't even cook it well. You know what I mean? It's not like they're grilling it really special and putting some special. No, everything has been sitting out and flies and all that stuff, you know. Praise the Lord. Those are the best, huh? You eat it anyway because they taste good. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. And the congregation said, amen.
Amen.
Not really. Man, I can't get you guys to do anything in unison. And then I say something like that, and you're like, woo! Hallelujah. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding about that. Pick it, Eddie. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine, and he will declare it to you. That means, see, when you're joint heirs with Christ, this is exactly what this is talking about here. He's going to declare it to you. He's going to tell you what's yours. He's going to tell you what you can do and what you can't do. I'm going to tell you what. I've gone to the car lot before and wanted to buy a car. And the Spirit on the inside of me has said, nope. Not just literally nope, but there's a, you know, direction. Sometimes I've heard nope. Sometimes I've heard yes. Praise the Lord. Actually heard it. Yeah. But see, when there's times when, it looks like a great deal. Nope. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the children of God. See, God's going to lead us. He's going to show us things. He'll make you make the right purchases. Yeah. Oh, praise the Lord. We had several houses in Mayville that we were going to buy. We were going to put offers on. I woke up in the morning, and the Spirit on the inside of me was saying, nope. Nope. We didn't do it. What God had for us was much, 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 much nicer than all those other places, and we didn't even know how we were going to do that. Like those other places, I'm saying. But the Lord. See, when the Lord blesses, there's no sorrow added to it. He'll supply it too, in which he has. But whatever he hears, he'll speak. He will tell you things to come. I love that. He will tell you things to come. Christians should never be surprised. Truly surprised. They should know when something's coming. I know when things are coming. Praise the Lord. Sometimes I know well in advance that something is coming. And I have to be careful because sometimes I want to go jump out and do it right then, but we know we have to wait. He will glorify me, and he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said, he will take of mine and declare it to you. In case you didn't get it, all things the Father has are mine. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. What do you need? But you're only going to find it in his plan. You ain't going to find it in your own plan. You'd sit there spinning your wheels all day long, coming up with your own ideas and saying, Lord, bless it. And he ain't going to bless it. Praise the Lord. But he will bless his plan. Amen. But he's going to lead you and he's going to guide you. Praise the Lord. Now I want you to look here, Psalm 25. We're fixing to close here. Praise the Lord. Psalm 25, 12. Who is the man that fears the Lord? You know, we talked about this. I talked about this last night. And you see this many times in Scripture. You know, people take this word out of context because they don't study to show themselves approved, as the Bible says. But see, when it talks about fearing the Lord, it's not talking about being afraid of the Lord. God would not give us or not give us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind, and also make us fear. It wouldn't make sense. But see, if you look up that fear, it's a reverential fear. It's kind of the same, the best way I can describe it is the same kind of the reverence or awe you would have for like the president if you walked in. You know, I mean, some people wouldn't for this president. But just as president in general. I don't care what president, whether I agreed or not, I would still have a reverential awe of them. Right? Because that's an office that is to be respected. I don't care who's in it. Even when people completely disagreed with it. That I've completely disagreed with, I would still respect and honor them. I would still give them the best seat in the house. I would still do the best. If I was meeting any president, I would dress up my nicest. Yeah. Praise the Lord. That's what reverential fear is. You understand? Yeah. See, this is a problem with our country, is that reverence is gone. There's no reverential fear anymore. Oh, people care. It's all have it your way. Do what you want to do. There's no respect for anybody anymore. No respect for elders. I'll tell you what. When I see young people walk out a door, when I see young people walk out a door and let it slam in an older person's face, I want to punch them. And I ain't joking. I want to punch them. And if it was legal, I'd punch them and I'd punch them real hard. And I'm telling you, I'd punch them in the love of God. I'm telling you right now. Why? Because you know what? It's high time that kids get taught how to respect again. Because the whole problem, my wife is a school teacher, the whole problem with our youth is that they're not taught to respect. Parents, if your kids talk back to you, you punch them. Well, maybe not punch them, but you know what I'm saying. You discipline them. The kids don't talk back to you. They don't have that right. I don't care how old they are. I don't talk back to you. I talk back to you? I better not. I may have one time, and you punch me. See, you think I'm harsh on my own accord, but I was beaten into submission. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, that's a joke. My mom didn't. But sometimes, you need that. Sometimes you need to get a little whack or something. It's not wrong. The Bible says, spare the rod, spoil the child. We have a lot of spoiled children running around. I'll tell you what, when I hear a kid talk to, glory, I got to walk in love. I mean, seriously, got to walk in love. That's why I couldn't be a school teacher. Because not only would I not be a school teacher very long, but I'd also be in jail. Because I'm not joking you that if I was around a bunch of kids doing some of the things that I hear that they do, oh, Jesus, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Everybody's like, got their kids, they're like, stay away from Pastor Jeff. No, but you know, I don't believe in going around and hitting other people's kids and stuff like that. But you know, the thought, what I'm talking about. Now, see, when I run for president, somebody's going to take that out of context, and they're just going to play me punching kids, you know what I mean? But, because that's what they do, and then everybody believes it. They're like, say, well, of course he's a liar, or she's a liar. Well, praise the Lord. Nobody believed she was a liar, but she was. It was free, no charge. Hallelujah. You know what I'm talking. Do I have to explain this? Praise God. Yeah. All right. It's kind of like, where's my gravel, Todd, right? So those who know, well, what's the Bible say? It says, those who are ignorant, let them be ignorant still. Those who know, you know, let them know. Praise God. Well, anyways. But this idea of respect is gone. This idea that, you know, and we need to make sure we're doing this around here. I'm not always out there first, but I'm going to tell you what. If we have older people in our congregation and we're going to have food out there, let them go through the line first. Why? Because that's what respect is. I'm talking to you kids. You don't go up there and just bomb your way through and yeah, let's have respect for them. Otherwise, Pastor Jeff might punch you. He's not going to punch you, but you know, let's just have respect. It's easy, and it's good. Praise the Lord. Well, all that in respect. He shall all, let me go back here. Who is the man that fears the Lord? Him shall he teach in his way he chooses, the way that God chooses. God is going to teach the one who fears him, the one who respects him, that respects his word. He's going to teach him in the way that he chooses. He himself shall dwell, and this is talking about the person, not God. He himself shall dwell in prosperity. Wow. And his descendants shall inherit the earth, shall live in prosperity. I love the idea of living in prosperity. Have you ever been poor? Have you ever been without? You know, prosperity of God isn't just talking about money. It's talking about many things, but money's included in there. Amen. And his descendants shall inherit the earth. The secret of the Lord is with those who fear him, who respect his word, who have a reverential fear of God. The secret of the Lord is with those. And he will show them his covenant. He's going to show. You notice how much it's talking about? He's going to show them. He's going to give them. He's going to reveal to them. God does reveal things to his people. My eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he shall pluck my feet out of the net. That means anything that's going to trap you, anything that could get you. And so we're talking about being led by the Lord and a lot of other things, but mostly about being led by the Lord. And how are we going to wrap this up with Colossians 3:15? Just go ahead and look at it up here. 3:15 and 16. I know what you're saying. You're saying, how do we be led by the Lord? How do we get that unction? How do we know? Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. The peace of God cannot rule in your hearts if you're out of the will of God. I'll just tell you that right now. So you can't, when I was out of the will of God, the peace of God was not working in me. Why? Because it can't. It's oil and water. They don't mix. They don't blend. So first you have to get in the will of God. And how do you do that? Well, the first thing you do is you go to church. The second thing you do is you get into the word. The third thing you do is you get into prayer. You do all these things in those orders, and guess what's going to happen? Your life is going to start changing. The peace of God will rule in your hearts, to which you were also called to one in one body and be thankful. See, we're called to one body, not to be separate, our own little thing out there or wherever. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. What's the peace of God in your heart? We're talking about to make it short without going into another sermon. It's in the belly. It's in the inward witness. It's God speaking to you in here. When you know what I'm talking about, when you know this is right, I should do this. When you know that, then you do that. And when you say, no, this is not right, I shouldn't do this, then you don't do that. And see, this is how God is going to lead. But you understand, it will not work. It will not work right if you're not in the will of God, if you're not seeking after God. I'm not saying you have to be perfect, but I'm saying you're seeking him. You're always endeavoring to be better, more with God. And what God will do is he'll start giving you witness on the inside. He'll start giving you that peace, and you'll start being led in this direction, in that direction. You'll start doing this thing and that thing. But the will of God, listen to me, the will of God will only happen as you do the work of God. So you cannot reject his commandments and then have his peace ruling in your heart. said you can't reject his commandments. You have to do things that the Bible says. One of the things the Bible says is that if you don't work, you don't eat. So if you're capable of working, then you better be out there working. If you're capable of doing, now listen, mothers, you know, I know we have stay-at-home mothers and stuff like that, and that's definitely work. We're not excluding that. But you know, that's a major thing. This world wants to teach us that, well, you know, anybody can sit at home and on their duff and not do anything, and they still get fed. No, if you don't work, you don't eat. And guess what? I don't support people that don't work either. I don't support people that don't do things. I don't give to people. I won't give to people that don't tithe. Absolutely. Of course, you would have to know that. But what I'm saying is if it's obvious, if you don't go to church ever, then you don't tithe. Right. I don't pour out. That's why I don't counsel people that, generally speaking, I don't counsel people that don't come sit in a service. People come to me, their life's falling apart. They want counsel. It ain't gonna happen unless they're sitting in service. Why? Because it's sitting in service that will change your life. I can counsel you all day long, but if you won't do the word, I can't help you. And that's why I don't pray for things where people won't do the word. The simple things in the word of God, people, I can't pray. I've said this before. I can't pray stupid out of you. I can't pray you into the blessing of God if you aren't willing. You have to be willing. Listen, as we move together, why do I preach like this? Because when I preach like this and you do this and we connect together, then we will see the blessing of God in the land of living. I want the blessing of God in everybody's life. That's why I preach the way that I do. That's why I preach strong. That's why I preach over and over and over the same things. You will hear the same base. I mean, we're going to go around that mountain again. We're going to do it. Why? Because until the people of God do that, they won't be blessed. I want blessing in everybody's life. I don't sit here like judging people and sit there saying, well, you know, this person and that person. No, I what I do is I care about people. I love people. But I will not waste my time on people that don't want to do the word of God. The people that don't care about the work of God. I won't waste my time with it. I won't do it anymore. I do to an extent. I give people, you know, when people come in, obviously sometimes you have new people come in and they don't know yet and they have to be taught. Obviously, I give them time and place. That's why my brother Cody's not here today. He wasn't perfect when he came in. He wasn't doing the will of God when he came in, but I spent time with him because he was hungry and then he was willing. And as he connected, his life started changing. Praise the Lord. See, that's how it works. Because God wants to work in all of us. He isn't willing that any of us should perish. He isn't willing that any of us should go without. God wants to move us into blessing, but it can only happen if we're willing to move with the Spirit, if we're willing to do what God has said to do. You can't live in sin. You cannot live in sin and expect God to be blessing you. It will not happen. If you're being blessed, I'm telling you right now, it ain't from God. Because God will never, never, never be okay with it. If he said it in his word, he is not going to be okay with you doing it if he said that it's wrong in his word. He's not changing his mind. If some spirit is telling you that God is telling you to do something different than what's in the word, you're listening to the wrong spirit. The Bible says to check the spirits, to test the spirits. Why? Because some of them are going to appear as angels of light. But just because it feels good doesn't mean it's God. If it lines up with the word, it's God. Amen? So God is going to lead you, he's going to guide you, and you get led by peace. When you know to do something, you do it. And don't hesitate. Don't be fearful. Don't hesitate doing it. This is important because this is how I live my life. How do I know to preach the right message? Because the Spirit of the Lord will guide me, and he will lead me. I'll have peace on this scripture, but not on that. I will have peace on this subject, or not on that. I'll get to church sometimes. Two weeks ago, I got to church 5 minutes before he changed my message. Why? Because I'm able to be led by the Spirit of God. He'll show us the way to go. Amen? Praise the Lord. And we'll go there together, won't we?